Let us pray. Abba Father, as we draw near to you, speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. I have covered the first seven books in the Old Testament, and today I'm going to do the number eighth, the book of Ruth. If you ask an Israelite, "Tell me about your God," but at the time in about 1300 BC, if you ask an Israelite, "Tell me about your God," then what will he answer you? He will tell you, "My God is the creator of heaven and earth." And yet, he made a covenant with Abraham, our fathers. So the Israelite will know God is the creator. The Israelite will tell you, God is a God of covenant. He made covenant with people. "And tell me more about your God." "Well, my God is also a redeemer. When our people are oppressed in Egypt, he sent Moses to deliver us from the hands of Pharaoh through the Red Sea. He saved us. Our God is our Savior." "Tell me more about your God." "Our God is a holy God. He gave us the law. He showed us we need sacrifices to come before him. And not only that, our God is our shepherd. He led us through the wilderness. He kept us for 40 years. "Tell me more about your God." "My God give us the commandments, the laws. He speaks to us. He speaks to people. And not only that, he lead us into the promised land. We inherit the land. He gave us inheritance." So if you ask an Israelite, he can tell you what God has done in this people. You will notice that this, what I share just now, is from the book of Genesis, from the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And the sixth book is about Joshua. Our God leads us into the promised land. He is the conqueror. He is the mighty conqueror. And we followed him, we'll become overcomer. We can conquer the land. We occupy the land. Great, our God is a mighty warrior. And then we come to the seventh book, which is the book of Judges, last time. Somehow when people settle down, they turn away from their God. So we Israelites do things in our own way. We don't have kings among us. So the Israelites fall into immorality, idolatry. And this is the background at that time. So if you ask an Israelite, "What about now? Where is your God?" Everyone going in his own way. So in all this chaotic time, there comes the book of Ruth. When we look back in the time of the judges, all these bad things happen. But when you look at the book of Ruth, many good things happen. You can see love. You can see devotion. You can see nice people full of grace and mercy. You can find all these virtues in this little book. As if out of darkness, this little book at that time shines. So this book of Ruth is really wonderful. So some people talk about, what is the theme of this book? Is it about love? Is it about sacrifice? Is it about devotion? Well, for me to understand, this book is about, let's see, union with Christ. Why? Because the character of Ruth, who is she? She is a Moabite. Moab. She is from the people of Moab. In other words, she is a Gentile. Okay? So in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, it says, "Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles," we are Gentiles in the flesh, "who are called uncircumcision by what is called uncircumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise. Indeed, this is the situation of Ruth. Not only she is a Gentile, she is alien, she is stranger. She has no part in the covenant of the promise, having no hope. So it's not just talking about Ruth, it's also talking about us. We are Gentiles. We have no part in the commonwealth of Israel and all the covenants of the promise. We live in this world, have no hope. Ephesians chapter 2 talked about us when we are not in Christ. It's our situation. We are in a desperate situation. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now we find our Redeemer. So this book is not just about, there are three main characters in this book, Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. We are going to look into this, but this is more than just about these three persons. It's about people, Gentiles, not a part in God's covenant or blessing. One day they can come in union with Christ, have a part in the blessing of God. So this is about you and me as well. It's a good picture, not beautiful picture, but you can see yourself in it. If I show you a picture with many people in it, you would always find, where's me in it? So when we look at this book, I hope you can find yourself. When is the time? The time is when judges rule. So it's about 1300 BC to about 1100 BC. I would rather say it's more near to the 1300 BC. People say, who is the author of this book? Many people will say it should be Samuel. But when we notice at the last few words, it talks about David. And he didn't address David as King David. So it's possibly before David become king. So Samuel wrote all this. If he did, he wrote all this to prepare the people to accept, to know about the background of David. So possibly Samuel anointed David already, and he wrote this book to prepare the people to know how David coming to become God's used man. Okay? Another part. The key verse in this book, people say, is chapter 1, verse 16. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Notice, this is a choice. This is a decision for Ruth. He wants to choose Israel. He wants to choose the God of Israel. Okay, a very brief summary was in this four chapters is going to happen. A man from Judah living in Bethlehem, Elimelech, he married Naomi, and then they got two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. But because of a famine, they moved to Moab. And at Moab, Mahlon married Ruth, and Chilion married Orpah. So the two sons got married, but within 10 years, Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion, all the three men died. So three widows remain in the family. Very sad story. Orpah left, and Ruth followed Naomi back to Bethlehem. This is the first chapter. And then in the second and the third chapter, talk about how Ruth find when they went back to Bethlehem, Ruth met Boaz, who is someone called the kinsman redeemer. I'm going to talk about that later. But they got married, and from Boaz and Ruth married, they got a son called Obed, and then Jesse, and then give birth to the King David. So this follow give us the idea of how David came into the picture. Okay, now let's look at the four chapters.
It can be divided into like this. The first part from chapter 1 to 2, Ruth's love demonstrated. And from 3 to 4, Ruth's love rewarded. There are many ways to divide it, but this is only one suggestion. Okay, so this is for your reference. But basically, we are going to look at these four chapters. Okay, now let's go to chapter 1. Next, first of all, when we are going to read the first few verses, I want you to think about why did they move away? And the second question is, what was the outcome of their move? Let's read from these verses. We think about what the two questions ahead, on top. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So it seems question one answered, a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. I talked about that just now. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They lived in Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to the country of Moab and remained there. And then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women and Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the one was Ruth. And they dwelt there for about 10 years. Then both the two sons also died, and the woman survived her two sons and her husbands. Now, let's think about why did they move? Obviously, to avoid the famine. But why did they have famine at that place at that time? If we look back at the book of the Judges, we know that Israelites, instead of worshiping God, they turned to the idols. And when they turned to the idols, God allowed the enemies come to oppress them. The enemies come and took away their food. So then there was famine in the land. So in other words, the people, the true problem is the people are not following the Lord. This is the core issue. But instead of returning to the Lord, they try to flee. They try to avoid the discipline. So does this speak of our situation? Instead of dealing with the problem, we try to run away from it. Let me put it in an analogy. Say if you have a conflict with someone close to you, instead of dealing with the problem, learning how to forgive, learning how to love, you just run away. Run away from your inheritance. God gave us the land. The land speaks of the richness of Christ. In difficulty, we can learn to forgive. We can learn to have patience and love. But instead of dealing with what we should do to learn, we try to run away. We flee. We can't fight, then we flee. Instead of turning back to the Lord. So often, this is our situation, isn't it? The pasture is always greener on the other side. So in their mind, if we flee to Moab, then we can maintain our wealth. Actually, by that time, they are wealthy family in there, because when later on Naomi said, when I left, I was full. When I come back to Bethlehem, I'm empty. So at that time, when they leave there, it's not because they are poor. They are wealthy, but they want to maintain their wealth. They try to save their life. So what was the outcome? All the men died, one after the other. Three men, all the men in the family died. Very sad. Shouldn't they wake up? Hey, are we following the Lord?
Is it pleasing in God's sight? They never think of turning back. So this is a picture for us, isn't it? When we have problem, we try to run away, yet God sent a signal, come back to me, come back to me. And we did not realize. So remember in Matthew, take up your cross and follow me. For one who tried to save his life will lose it. When you run away, you try to keep your wealth, save your life. You don't want to give yourself up. In the end, we lose our life. We try to save ourselves, but in the end, a very sad ending. People lose their life. What was the outcome? Very sad outcome. So, thank God, at that time, Naomi, she turned back. So let's look at the next part. Now, what can we know about Naomi? Next question. And why would Ruth chose to stay with Naomi? Let's look at here and find out. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law. There are two daughters-in-law. And that she might return from the country of Moab. Why Naomi start to, in her mind? For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her. Now she is willing to turn back. Now for us, I don't know what you feel. Is it because of bread? I don't think it's an easy decision. If you look at her dialogue with her daughters-in-law, we can see that Naomi was a gentle woman. She has love. She showed cares about her daughter-in-laws. And she's willing to turn back to God. That really, really reminds me about the prodigal son. When man comes to his end and realizes, suddenly she realized, this foreign land, which I think it was a greener pasture, does not belong to me. It's a foreign land. I need to turn back. I need to go back to my God. Yes, in humility, she turns back. When she came out, she was a wealthy woman, but now she got nothing. Husband's gone. Son's gone. Nothing left. She was humbled before the Lord. Now she returns. And what do we know about her? And the daughters-in-law, they want to go with her. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. So she wants them to go back. Okay, leave me, I can't give you any more future. Stay with me, you will be in trouble. Go home. Go back to your father's house. You will have a better future there. But they insist to go with her. And let's see what happened. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should have also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourself from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes and that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. So she is still concerned with the future, the good for her daughters-in-law. So she is not a selfish person. She still thinks about their own future. Go back to your home. I'm going back to my homeland. But to you, if you follow me, this is a foreign land to you. You can stay here. It seems to be better. It should be much better for you. Now let's see
was their choice. Then they lifted their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Keep close to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back. So Orpah, after thinking about her future, she has gone back to her people and to her gods. Now, not only to her people and also her gods, return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. So why would Ruth chose to stay with Naomi? Some people say it's about her love towards Naomi, of course. But Orpah has her love as well. Orpah loved her family and her gods and her land. So she loved as well. We can't say Orpah does not have love. So to me, it's not about just love. It's about a choice. Don't go so fast. It's about a choice. I would imagine when Ruth stays with Naomi, what she learned from Naomi about the God of Israel. Your God is a creator. Your God makes covenant with people. Your God is a redeemer, mighty redeemer. Your God is a shepherd. Your God speaks to his people, give people law. Wow, she was attracted to this God of Israel, I would say. She was drawn to this God of Israel. So, to me, why would she make such a choice? Now, for Ruth, she can make a choice. Okay, I will stay in Moab, where my family is. This is my home. I would choose to stay here. She can make a choice like this. It's nothing wrong to, if she loves her family, can we say she's wrong? So Naomi go back to her hometown. She will be taken care of by her relatives there. So you don't have to bother. So, but why would Ruth chose to go with Naomi to a foreign land? Your people, my people. Your God, my God. For me, it's about a choice. Because I think in Ruth's mind, once she know about the God of Israel, she has chosen, this is my God. I would come under his wing for protection. So in chapter 2, verse 12, it says something like this. Be given to you the Lord God of Israel, whom under whose wings you have come for refuge. Under whose wings you have come for refuge. So that means there are many places on earth she can choose. But in Ruth's heart, I want to come under his wings. I don't know if you understand what I mean. There are many gods, especially in the times of Judges. Many people worshipping idols. But this Moab young woman, she has chosen the God of Israel. I would come under his wing. Even though this is a foreign land to me, even though my future is not secure, even I have to give up my hope of marriage again, I would choose to come under the wing of the God of Israel. This is about a decision. This is about determination, determined to go with her, no matter what. Brothers and sisters, where people chose the world is always better, a greener pasture.
Young people say, the world give me joy and happiness. You would think about flee. You would think about leaving, serving God to serving idols. But this Moab woman, she make a choice. I would come under the wing of this God of Israel. I choose him. I would follow him no matter what. Wow, this is Ruth. Is it because she is that good? Remember, what she made that choice. Before she made that choice, she knows she must have known about God himself. That's why in the beginning, I mentioned about what would be an Israelite at that time know about God. God is the creator. He's a redeemer. He's our shepherd. He's such a great God. I choose to come under his wing. This is about decision. If you want to follow Lord Jesus, this should be your decision. No matter what, I choose him. Now let's go to another part. So when they went back to Bethlehem, the city was excited because of them. The women said, is this Naomi? When she said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. Why? Went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty, full and empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me. So they asked, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara on the top, isn't it? So Mara means bitter, bitterness. Okay, I'm no longer pleasant. Naomi means pleasant, sweet. Now, I'm sweet. Now I'm bitter. Before I'm full, but now I'm empty. That's what she think about her situation. Why would the Almighty afflict me? So this is the question. So the next question is, why did the Almighty afflict Naomi? Why would God take away my husband? Why would God take away my sons? Take away all my wealth. Now I got nothing. I'm humiliated. I come back. When I left, I was full. Now I'm empty. I got nothing. The Almighty has put a heavy hand on me. Why? Brothers and sisters, if you are full all the time, would you return to the Lord? When you're full, will cause you to go to leave God. So God take away the full. Then when you come back empty. So this, in a way, this is how God calls you back to him, or call us back to him. When you are full, you won't listen. But when your stomach is empty, oh, where's dinner? Where's mom? I better go home. So when the children have full stomach, they went out to play. Oh, forget about home. So God disciplined us. You know what's the difference between hitting a golf ball and hitting a glass, a piece of glass? You hit it, the golf ball won't surrender. You hit it hard, it will bounce, go away, further away from you. God disciplined us. If you're hardened heart, you'll go further away. Bitterness. You punish me, I won't come back. You go further away from God. But a piece of glass, you hit it, it's shattered, crumbled, broken, and then you won't go away. You stay there. So often, God let us experience broken heart so that we return to him. Why does the Lord afflict me? Why does the Lord afflict you? Why does the Lord give you a hard time? It's telling us, return to me. Otherwise, you won't come back to Bethlehem again. Otherwise, we won't turn back to him. So this affliction is a call from God to tell us to come back to him. Let us proceed.
And now there's a custom there. When they went back to Bethlehem, they are going to the poor can glean the sheaf, the wheats on the ground, because there's a law in Leviticus in or Deuteronomy. There are three places speaking about the same thing. When you reap the harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. So God's law provides for the people who are stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. So Ruth, being a widow, when she went back to Bethlehem, by God's law, the owner of the land should provide, should be generous, should provide for these poor people, the needy people. So she came to the right place. She came to the God of Israel. She came under the wings of the God of Israel. Now she'll find provision there. She came to the right spot. Okay, let's proceed. Chapter 2. In chapter 2, it starts to talk about Boaz. Now, what can we know about Boaz? So, now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. And he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." Now, what kind of people is Boaz? Now, remember, at that time in the Judges, people worshiping idols. Many people just follow the idols. They don't really observe God as their king, observing his rules. But notice this Boaz, "The Lord be with you." A wealthy man, not concerning about, hey, how much work have you done? How many food have you gathered for me today? No. "The Lord be with you." He greeted the workers. When we look at the Judges, we can't see people greeting each one another like that. "The Lord be with you." So he's a godly man, a godly man. He concerned about people. Okay? So let's look further. Whose young woman is this? Now, among all these many people over there, he noticed this Ruth. So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, 'Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Have I not commanded the young man not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." So we can see how Boaz, what kind of man he is. He's being showing grace and mercy to widows and to those who are needy. Next page. So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I'm a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before." So he really appreciated what Ruth has done. "The Lord repays your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel." So he is going to show kindness and mercy to her, but in his mind, he's not, "I am going to give you. I will show you grace and mercy." No, the Lord. So that's why I say he's a godly man. He wants the people not thanking him, but she wants her to know it's the God given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. So I like this because Ruth was not finding Boaz, but come to the wings of the
God of Israel. If God has no such law, I wonder, would people would treat one another like that? Now, not only that, we think about Boaz. Boaz's father, his name was Salmon. He was one of the spies that was sent into Jericho to spy in Jericho. And after that, Salmon, the spy, married Rahab. So Boaz was the son of Rahab. Boaz's mother was Rahab, a Gentile as well. She was supposed to be killed, but God spared her life. So Boaz knows what is meant by a Gentile, finding grace in God, among God's people. So in his heart, my mother was a foreigner, yet this woman come to God of Israel. I don't know if that Ruth reminds her about her mother or not. Okay, so we can see Rahab, how Rahab related to Ruth. So Ruth has not only got one famous mother-in-law, Naomi, Ruth has also got another famous mother-in-law, Rahab. Okay, two mother-in-laws. Okay, now let's go further down. Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I'm not like one of your maidservants." Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers and he passed parched grain. Notice he passed parched grain as if he's serving her. She ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And she rose up to glean. Boaz commanded his young men, say, "Let her glean even more, even among the sheaves. Do not reproach her. Also, let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her." So he did give command, purposely drop more for her. So we can see how kind Boaz was to Ruth. In the beginning, he said about the Lord will bless you, but actually he is helping. So he's not just, "Oh, the Lord, may the Lord help you," but he's not folding his hand. No, he's doing something. So often we say, "Oh, the Lord help you," but we are doing nothing. But he is really doing something behind her back. Okay, now let's continue. Then Naomi, now we come to chapter 3. It's about we are coming to talk about the threshing floor. And Naomi, her mother-in-law, knowing about what happened, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you? That it may be well for you. Now Boaz, whose young woman you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he's winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garments and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. And then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down." Well, this is a very strange custom. Today we may think, "Oh, this is such an indecent thing to do, inappropriate. How would a girl go to a man when he was sleeping? You uncover his feet, lie down there. Wow, this is, you won't do that, isn't it? It's not a decent thing to do." But it's a custom, and that custom speaks of something. That custom speaks of as if you're warming the feet of she was putting herself as in a position as she's willing to submit to her, to him, as his master. So in a way, she is like proposing for marriage. And after Boaz has eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of the grain, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I'm Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Let's go to the next. What is the meaning of Ruth's action? Let's continue to look at. Now in Deuteronomy, it speaks of something like that. In chapter 25, verse 5 to 10. If brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside the family. So Ruth is the widow there.
Her husband's brother shall go into her. So this husband's brother is now referring to Boaz, the relative, the close relative, the kinsman redeemer. And he shall be that firstborn son who she bears will succeed to the name of his dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out of Israel. So what Ruth was doing, if she can marry Boaz, then the son they gave birth, which is Obed, will carry the name of Mahlon in the future. Then his brother's wife go up to the gate. But if the man does not want to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate to the elders, say, my husband's brother refuses to raise up a name to his brother in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. But if the man refused, now why would Ruth, as if going in to do it secretly at nighttime? This is the key point. If the thing is, if Boaz refused, according to God's law, what should we do? What should they do? Then the elders of the city shall call him. My husband's brother refuses to raise up a name to his brother in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. So if Boaz refused, then the elders of his city shall call him and speak to him. But if he stands firm and say, I do not want to take her. If Boaz refused her, then his brother's wife shall come to him in the presence of the elders, remove his sandals from his foot, spit in his face. So if Boaz refused, then he is going to suffer humiliation, spit in his face and answer and say, so shall it be done to the man who will not build up his brother's house. So this is a disgrace, because you are thinking you should do, this is your duty, your responsibility. If you refuse, you are going to be publicly humiliated. So Ruth was not trying to humiliate because Boaz was being so kind to her. So she made this request secretly to protect Boaz as well. Now, and look at this, and his name shall be called in Israel, the house of him who had his sandal removed. Later on, we are going to see this, the sandal removed part. Take her as his wife and perform the duty of her husband's brother to her. So now we see this action is asking as if proposal for marriage, but not openly. So it won't be a threat to Boaz to protect him. So it's not a threat. You must marry me. No. Let's go on. So what was the response of Boaz? Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than of the beginning, and in that you did not go after the young man, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that your request. For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now, it is true that I am a close relative. However, there's a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you. Now you see, Boaz still follow the words of God. There's a one closer. So we can see he's a godly man, always following God's rule. In the times where men always do what they want. So we can see not only he's rich, not only he show kindness, not only he's a godly man, but he always follow God's words. This is our Redeemer. This, he, Boaz in here, represent Christ. Okay, we go to next. Now, what can we learn from this redemption incident? Now, Boaz went to the city and asked that person, would you marry, redeem the place? The close relative say, yes, I will do it. But then, and he said, I will redeem it. But Boaz said in the last second part, on the day you buy the field from the land of the Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabites, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. And the close relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. So this man, think about himself, he cared for himself. Yes, I want the land.
but I don't want Ruth. Ruth, if I married Ruth, then the son we would have, the land will go to that son, which will be for the dead man. So that will ruin his inheritance. But he refused. In that case, so only Boaz is willing to make that sacrifice. What I want to say is, no one can redeem us. No one is willing to redeem us. Only our Redeemer, only Christ, is willing to pay the price. I say again, who will redeem us? Only Christ is willing to pay every price to redeem us so that we can have our inheritance. Let's go quicker. Now, why is the sandal so important? Because where the sole, in Joshua 1:3, it says, every place where the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. So imagine a piece of land where your foot is on. If you wear a sandal, of course, then the whole piece of land will have your footprint. So the footprint on your piece of land is a sign that means it belongs to you. Okay? So imagine a lion walk across a piece of land. This is my kingdom. So you can see the lion's footprint anywhere. So the sandal speaks of the right. Okay? So if you sell the land, if you take the shoe and give the sandal to the other person, today, of course, we rather have title deeds. Write it clean, isn't it? When you buy a house, you don't expect the owner to pass you a sandal. This is your title deed. No, thank you. Okay? Unhygiene, isn't it? But we want... That speaks of the right. That speaks of the right of the land. Okay? So what did the women say to Naomi? Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. So, for Naomi, when he met this Redeemer become a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. Before that, remember, she thinks she was full, but now she became empty. But why would God afflict Naomi? Come back to me. Come back to meet the Redeemer. When we meet the Redeemer, your hurt, your loss will be regained. Your hurt, your life will be restored, restorer of life, and a nourisher of your old age. So this is why we come back to him. It seems that God has taken away many things. In the valley, God has, in darkness, God has, when we return back to him, God is bringing us a restorer of life. When we meet Christ, when we meet our Redeemer, God is going to restore you better than before. Nourish us. He's the nourisher. I'm weak now. Nourisher of when you are of an old age. So that's why we need to meet our Redeemer. Let's go. Next step. How did all this relate to Christ? We know the spy, Salmon, married Rahab, gave birth to Boaz. Now Boaz married Ruth. After 3 generations, give birth to David. And from King David, God made the promise to David, his son will be sit on the throne. That refers to Jesus Christ. So David, this line split because of Joseph and Mary, there are 2 lines. David's son, Solomon, and then give birth to Jacob. Jacob give birth to Joseph. And from David there, then another son of David called Nathan, and give birth to, after many generations, that is in the genealogy in the book of Luke Gospel. On top is the Matthew Gospel. The genealogy seems to be different.
But actually, right now we can see when Nathan gives birth to all the way to Hilly, Hilly gives birth to Mary. So in a way, Joseph is the son of Hilly as well. So in the book of, in the Gospel of Mark, Joseph was the son of Jacob. But in the book of, in the Gospel of Luke, Joseph was the son of Hilly. So that's why we see, it seems Joseph has got two fathers. Now we can see why. And Jesus Christ was, of course, coming from Joseph and Mary. So this points to Jesus Christ. So we can see Ruth was brought into the family of God, from the family of Jesus Christ. So in the end, what can you learn from this book? What can we learn from this book? So God will, when we leave the will of God, when we leave the inheritance of God, when we fall, when we stumbled, we lost everything. But when we returned, we will regain what we have lost when we come to Christ. He is our restorer. He is our nourisher. Only He can turn Mara back to Naomi. Our life will be filled with bitterness, but when we turn back, we will find pleasant. Our life will be changed. But this is a choice. You will choose, are you going to choose to come back, to come under His wings? Do you know about this God, the God of Israel? He is our Redeemer. Shall we turn back to Him? I have decided to follow Jesus. Let us sing. 97. Have you decided, like Ruth, to come back to Bethlehem? Have you decided to come and meet the Redeemer? Meet Him. He is our restorer. What you have lost, meet Him. He is our nourisher. He will supply. He will sustain. He is our God. I have decided to follow Jesus. Let's stand.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Turning back. Cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry.